your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's
your mom and dad.
It's your mother and father. Good morning. And family, today we are talking fantasy suite episodes. And here's the bottom line. After watching that episode, felt like I walked away with just a million questions. Mm-hmm. I was like, is he going to leave? Is he ever going to fall in love? Is she going to start to like the one guy? Is she going to stay in love with this guy? I mean, I'm very confused.
Very
I have
weird energy.
Very weird. The energy is pulsatingly weird on this
it's
episode.
A weird energy.
It's
vibe.
A bizarre episode, but there was one thing. We had one question answered truly.
Yes.
And that answer is this. Jesse Palmer loves golf.
Loves golf.
Our king.
I like how you're clapping for
he is our king who loves golf. You know why? Because for many, I would say almost like 2 years, you and I have made guesses and assumptions that when Jesse Palmer is gone 99.999% of the time, we're like, well, he's just at the hotel's golf course.
Yes.
He's just out there playing golf.
Yeah, it's weird. We haven't seen him, and then we see him for 10 seconds.
We're like, we haven't seen him in days, but yet we see him for two. And it's like, oh, he's definitely golfing. And this episode, what it gave to us was a kernel, an answer of wisdom, of truth, that Jesse Palmer indeed is always out there playing golf.
Yes.
So for this episode, you know, normally Fantasy Suite episodes, we dress up, you know, maybe put on something kind of comfy, cozy,
right.
Maybe put on something a little sexy in honor of Fantasy Suites. But this episode felt less like what Zach Shallcross would refer to as SEX week.
Oh.
And it felt more like GOLF week.
Wow. Well done, babe. Well done.
So
Clap for that as well. We are in our golf gear.
I'm wearing Evans golf clothing just in honor of the king, because I just had to take a moment to celebrate the king, because the energy of Jesse Palmer was very much giving. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yes.
And if those guys want to come and talk to me, they can meet me at my tea time. Like, this man, this season is like, I want to go have my special coffee. Mm-hmm. I want to go have my special restaurant food at the specific place I want to go
to. And talk about my experience on
The Bachelor. Talk about my experience.
Yes.
And I want to golf.
Yeah.
And if you want your contestants to get a little bit of advice and one-on-one for me, then run out there with a camera, give them a golf shirt, and like, they can join me as I hit a couple balls before my 18-round.
I feel like this franchise into a reality show about him, kind of interesting. Like, there's always a side thing about him. You know what I mean? Like,
this season specifically.
Yeah, it's
kind
a lot of like,
woven,
who is Jesse is the subcontext behind everything.
There is an underlying pulse of Jesse this season.
What's interesting is that most hosts for any show, you know very little about unless you know about them. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, unless you Google or whatever. It's like, it's generally to come on, do a job, they leave. Sometimes in like Love is Blind, they overshare their own, you know, marital issues.
what's the one? Perfect Match. We get to know Nick a little more, you know,
again,
he's a good time guy.
Yeah, he's a good time guy. But again, it's usually there for the job. What's different this time is that he's somehow managed to just tell production, I'm going to be here. You can meet me if you'd like to work. And I'm so jealous, because all the things he does, eat, drink coffee, you know, I'm not a big Bigfoot guy, but it's a good hang.
Sure.
And then ultimately golf, and not only golf, but like golf overlooking the ocean in gorgeous weather.
Yeah.
So he's literally just like, and he's also separated it perfectly into like, when I'm on the range, you can bring a guy out. When I'm golfing, you can bring a guy out. And you just let me know. I'll be at this place at dinner if you'd like to do something over here. Like, I'm a huge fan of whatever he's been able to negotiate here, because he's living my dream, which is to work very little in golf mostly.
Yeah. I feel like what I'm sensing is for the finale episode that all of a sudden we're going to see the men meeting up with him, like the final two men meeting up with him at the spa. He's like, I'm getting a massage, and if they want to come in and stand next to me while I'm getting one, then I'll talk to them. With the cucumbers on my eyes, sure. A little sauna time, sure. But like, this is already, he's booked. His assistant has booked his tea times, his sauna days, his spa days,
outings. If the men tell all is more just like at a good bar with his friends.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're all here at my friend's bar here in downtown LA. And you guys we're excited to have you here. I'm going to go play darts. with my three buddies from college, and you guys discuss the drama between Sam M and Devin. And
wait,
you know
remember
what I'm saying?
Was that Joey season where they went to the bar where they had Jesse's photo?
Yes.
We're going to be at that bar.
See, that's what I'm saying.
They're filming the Mental Law in Canada.
At this point, he's either going to do that or he's going to zoom in.
I just found it to be really iconic, so I wanted to talk about it. I just found his energy, him putting out into the universe that he was just like, daddy wants to do what daddy wants to do. And so the boys can come to daddy when he's doing what he wants to do.
Well, and it's funny, too, because I even noticed, you know, when he was golfing,
yeah,
that there was a little bit of like, do we have to talk too much? Because
did he seem like a little annoyed?
A little like I'm trying to get my warm up in at the range, yeah, and you keep bringing up your feelings.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask. You could tell he was a little bit like, I would rather not talk about this and rather just get to the golfing.
Did Jesse have a good swing as a golfer?
Yes, he actually did. So all the guys had a horrible swing.
Really? All of them did?
Well, I don't know about Jonathan. I didn't see his.
But we definitely know that he met up with Jonathan and did a couple holes. And we just didn't see it.
Exactly.
That was the only time that Jonathan would have been able to see Jesse.
Yes. Marcus got the range. Devin got the front nine. Jonathan got the back nine.
Yeah.
You know, and he even stipulated in his contract one hole. I don't want to deal with these guys the whole time. I'm golfing for real. These guys are going to slow
single
me down.
Hole.
Single hole. One, you know. But yeah, even like Jesse made like a kind of a dig at Devin. And he was like, yeah, you know, this is two ricochets in a row. It's pretty good. Like ricochet being like you hit it into the rocks and that somehow like jumped back onto the course. So, but no, he looks great. Yeah. I think Jesse knows how to actually play.
Well, when you're playing all year round during your job, you're
guys,
bound to get pretty
good. If you
good.
Would like to see a video of me and Jesse playing one-on-one, please
Evan,
petition that because that would be iconic.
No, literally, don't even joke about it. Do you think the way that we could get Jesse Palmer on this podcast is if we agreed to meet up and you guys play golf and I could just...
What if we make it like a walking
I'll
podcast?
I'll hold the camera.
More like an interview. We have like little lapels.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
walk with him as we play golf and interview him. I think... Of all the things he would say yes to, that would be very much one of them.
I feel like he would love it. But I just wonder if we'd get any answers out of him because
no,
he'd be so concentrated.
It'd be mostly
on
about golf. So I'd have to ask him kind of like, well, who's your favorite pro golfer? And like, you know, what's your favorite course? And then he'd be really into it. But I think if I actually interviewed him about the show, he's like, don't you realize I barely work? This is not why I'm here.
Anywho, God, I love you, Jesse. I just, again, would love to do a collab with Jesse, but more than anything, would love to see a collab between him and Nick Lachey. That's all I really want.
I mean, that's the ultimate.
We saw Jesse in his favorite atmosphere, just like how we had seen Nick in his favorite atmosphere. And I feel like it did give us different energy. And I feel like you put them both together in like a gorgeous tropical location with golfing and
maybe
water
our friend
and
Mark
surfing.
Wahlberg could join.
Oh, Mark.
So it's just maybe it's just
that.
Called the host.
Host Island.
Host Island. And all it is married guys golfing. And it's a lot of innuendo about like how tired they are. It's a lot of innuendo about like, no, life's been great. Life's been great. It's just, it's really nice to have a little bit of time away. That's what the whole show is. Episode two, you know what I mean? It's just, there's nothing but just like, it's just really good to connect.
Or will you be attending?
I will absolutely be attending. I'll be hosting.
Oh yeah. Who's going to host Host Island? Oh, can you imagine the drama? Who's going to host Host Island? They all think they're the best host. It would just be a full host off.
And I would not threaten them at all because I'm not a host. So it's perfect.
Every host loves to golf.
Yeah, because that's their job. I love you all. But it's like their job is to literally go to exotic, incredible places, wait to get a call. Mm-hmm. But they're like got 8 hours to wait. So they're like, I guess we'll golf
yeah,
in this
but you
incredible
can't, you cannot
environment.
Dare say that about Mark Wahlberg because Mark Wahlberg puts in hours and time like nobody else's business.
It's not even about
he
the workload.
He gets maybe some golf in,
he
I'm sure.
Does. we love Mark to death, but he definitely gets some golf
in. He gets in some rounds.
100%. 100%.
Well, tune into Host Island.
Host Island, hosted by me.
2025.
Yeah.
But family, we're here to talk about actually the Fantasy Suite yes. episode. Like Evan said, that had a very weird energy to it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Definitely didn't leave you feeling like warm and cozy.
No,
left you feeling just like.
Left me feeling anxious and stressed. And it yeah. also left us, by the way, on a cliffhanger where Devin is knocking on Jen's door about to have this like intense conversation with her where he says he's going to open up his heart and he's going to ask her the questions that he's wanted to ask her during their Fantasy Suite date. So we don't know what's going to happen, but I will tell you this episode, if you're watching or listening, you might be watching on Wednesday, which means that the Mental All has already come out.
Yes.
Which means you probably have already seen what we're going to be theorizing about yes. to a certain extent. So yes. if we're off, it's because we have
apologies.
Just simply watched the Fantasy Suite episode. Yes. And then tune in on Friday, because on Friday we will be covering the Mental All, which will include, it looks like, maybe the wrap up of the Fantasy Suite episode.
Yeah.
But I did see a preview at the end of the Fantasy Suite episode about the Men Tell All, mm-hmm. in which we saw some serious drama going down. Mm-hmm. Looks like Jen is telling off Sam. Mm-hmm. Looks like Aaron is coming for Spencer, which is so bizarre. Like, where did that come
from?
You
always start to see some weird stuff because, you know, there's they don't show everything. So you, right. And then obviously not everything's on camera. Could just be like while they're like chilling, they're like start getting it. So you always start to see some weird. You always what I always find is that you see weird teams form. You're like, who's he again? And he's like really angry
but
at this guy.
But also everyone knows now that Bachelor in Paradise is going to be airing again. So it's up for grabs.
They're like,
I got to have my moment. But most importantly, we saw Thomas and Sam N going at it. Yes. And Sam N is wearing his leather jacket.
He's got the leather jacket.
And I just want to say,
I mean, it's a brand at this point.
Sam, I hope that is, obviously, it is a brand for you, but I hope it's also a little bit of a nod to us.
Yes.
Because you know we just loved it so much. So
big,
the fact that you're
supporters.
Coming out in that leather jacket that you claim is denim is, to me, top tier. All the other men are in their suits, and he is sitting there in his leather jacket, and I am thrilled.
The fact that he's starting a company called Denim Leather is one of my
crazy.
Most favorite things ever.
But let's get into this episode.
Yes,
let's get into this episode, family. But first, we got to take a quick pause. Like you all know, we're getting into Fantasy Suite Week, you know, romance. And I have to tell you all, a while ago, I pulled the ultimate romantic move. I actually pulled out my cell phone. Evan and I had a beautiful feast of fast food, and I pulled out my cell phone. I downloaded one of those fireplace apps so that I could put my phone out and we could sit and eat our fast food in front of a roaring fireplace app. And I thought that was very romantic.
Yeah, we were like, what is happening right now?
So cutesy, so demure, so mindful, so romantic. But a few months after, I realized that I was still paying monthly for this fake fireplace app, which I did not need. I love you in the romance, but yeah. I didn't need to do that again because he wasn't super impressed, bottom line. And do you know who let me know I was still paying for this and then canceled it for me? Obviously, I'm talking about our savior, Rocket Money. God, I love Rocket Money so much. They've saved me so much money and time over the last few years. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Yeah, it really has saved us time and money, and not just us. Americans think they spend about $62 per month on subscriptions, but get this, the real number is closer to $300. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place. And if I see anything I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. Also, I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget, keeping my spending right on track.
And check this out. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. I find that to be so incredible. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. I don't even know at this point what I would do without Rocket Money.
Oh, yeah.
I've become so reliant on them. They are so incredible. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Take that in, 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. That's me. I'm one of those people, okay? Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/momdad. That's rocketmoney.com/momdad, rocketmoney.com/momdad. Okay, wait. Oh, before we officially dive into this recap, I just wanted to make a quick side note that family, please keep updated. I'll be posting some Instagram stories about it in the upcoming weeks, but our schedule, like the drop dates of episodes, is going to be a little bit different. So obviously we saw that Jen's finale is going to be on a Tuesday. So next week, our finale episode will be coming out on Thursday. And then we have a fun Friday episode for you. And then the following week, we're going to start getting into cast bios. But then after that, we have The Golden Bachelorette.
Yep.
And those episodes drop on Wednesday, so our episodes will be coming Friday. So our main episodes will be on Friday, and likely we'll be having other episodes drop every other Wednesday while that goes, but we'll keep you all updated. So just stay tuned.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that the dates of drops might ebb and flow a little bit because of the dates and drops of these episodes, or of these Bachelorette episodes.
Stay abreast.
Stay abreast.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never used that. And I'm really excited to be here.
Stay abreast. Stay abreast. Okay. Devin? So, yes. Okay. But before Devin, they go to the island of Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay. And they're staying at the Fairmont Orchid. And I just wanted to say,
very nice.
For once, this show really spared no expense.
Before, it was like, definitely not the Fairmont.
Not the Fairmont.
The whole season.
And this, I mean, clearly they were traveling, so they were spending money. But the Fairmont, I feel like Fairmont is like the level of like Ritz-Carlton.
That's what I was going to say. That feels pretty bougie. Yeah.
I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like those rooms can be like, you know, it like 800 very min nice. A night.
It looked very nice.
Yeah. Very fancy.
Fairmont. I mean, I was very jealous.
I know you were.
I was screaming. I was just like, I want to be there.
Well, Jen is joined up at the top of this episode by Molly.
Oh yeah.
Who we saw during the infamous radio date with Sam. And when she asked who's left, I'm like, I wonder if they told her the final three guys, if she was like, if Sam is here, I swear to God.
It would have been iconic.
It's interesting though that they brought her back to me. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because I feel like typically if they bring on, you know, an ex contestant on the show or bachelor, bachelorette, it can kind of feel random. But I did feel like it was nice to have Molly because she had actually met a lot of the men previously and had conversations with them.
That's
so
true.
It felt like the right person.
It was more of a catch up than and here's another random lead or whatever, you know.
Yes.
Also sick that you get to go to Hawaii.
I know Molly's like, I'm down.
You kind of went from like radio station with, what were their name? Like Cornhole and Dubious or something. And whatever their names were, Dubis and Glunder in Seattle. And then they get to fly to Hawaii and have an amazing trip. Because let's be real, they probably got a week trip out of that. And it was just 30
Cornhole
minutes.
Cornhole and Dubious.
Yeah, it was demure and Mindful were the two radio hosts. And, you know, and then they get to go to Hawaii. So I'm very happy for her. I hope that she got some just alone time and some vibes.
Absolutely.
And I hope that she said, sorry, everybody, I'm going to Hawaii.
She's like,
can figure it out.
I'm golfing with Jesse.
Yes.
But wanted to note that she specifically said something about Jonathan.
Yes, that was interesting.
She seems to like Jonathan. Uh-huh. She's like, I could tell right away that Jonathan really listens to you. Mm. He is present. He is there for you.
Mindful.
And I want to get into Jonathan later because I just have very positive feelings about them and their potential future together. But one thing that Jen then got into is the Devin of it all, of which she said that Devin has declared his love for her. He told her that he's in love with her and that she feels like she's trying to get there, but she thinks that it's hard for her to accept everything that Devin's doing because he's doing all the right things.
And then she even said, she's like, why?
Yes.
Which brings me to a question.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is like dumb, but like, is that a real thing in general? Or is that people searching their souls to figure out why they aren't attracted or into someone when on paper they look great? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and then
you start to kind of come up with these concepts like, I don't know how to accept it. And like, da, da, da. Because it'd be one thing if it was like, oh, I can't fall in love with anybody.
Right.
But if you're like falling in love with other people and then someone else is showing you really good attention or really good whatever, or like with the things you feel like you need and then you can't accept them. Is that like, you know what I mean? You overcomplicate it by trying to say things like, oh, I don't know if I can accept it, or I don't know if I can let it in and all this stuff. Or is it just simply like, I don't know why I'm not that maybe attracted to this person, or we don't have sexual chemistry. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it feels like to me. It feels like overcomplicating what is simply, I don't know what it is about Devin, but I can't tell you what's wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
I can just tell you my body doesn't react to his presence.
That's a really interesting question. I'd be interested to hear the family's take on that, like the idea of, is there these moments where you're like, they're doing all the right thing and I can't accept it because I can't accept someone doing all the right things because I'm not used to it. Because I would imagine, though, that can be the case in situations like where Jen dealt with a lot of trauma growing up.
Sure.
So there might be, is that block where it's like, I had all this trauma growing up, and then I also have these ex-boyfriends and I tend to date these guys who don't treat me correctly or treat me well at all. And so, you know, maybe there's that block there where it's like when someone is doing all the right things. But I do hear what you're saying, because my consistent question through the entire segment of Jen and Devin was, is she really feeling like he's too good to be true? Or does she just not, like, does she like him, but not in that way?
I mean, that's what I think. I feel like they're too good to be true. Like, listen, Devin is giving her a lot of what she on paper wants, right? Which is like full commitment, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I'll get into it, but you know, he was giving her everything that she's in asked love for. With her. Yeah,
you know what
he
I
was.
Mean? There's
he
no
was.
Question
this
about
he really
that.
Was. Yeah,
he's madly in love with her. He is all in, all the way, and she's going like, I can't figure out what it's like. It's like, I think it's just, we've felt this way since day one, which is like, she loves his personality, and I just think there isn't that much physical chemistry there.
Interesting.
I think it's simply that. And I think certain people, physical chemistry is more important to than other people.
Yeah.
Like, I think certain people are like, it has to be a major part. And then some people are like, yeah, it matters. But like, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, like, you know, that they can grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like she's a little bit more like, we got to have the raw connection first, and then we can build on it.
Yeah.
The fact that she's going with the guys that she's going with, and even Sam in the beginning, it's like almost no conversational chemistry. But the physical was so strong that it got him through a lot.
Yeah.
So I think she's someone that needs that, like a raw sexual physical chemistry. And then everything else can be on top. But I think if that's not there, she's having a really hard time reconciling that. That's my personal opinion. That's the vibe I'm getting.
I feel like when I was watching, and we'll then get into the details of it, but I felt like when I was watching from the top of her and Devin's time together, even through to when they, especially when they woke up in the morning, even though she was saying like it made her feel more confident in them, I feel like she's gotten the ick about something. There is an ick factor going on to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but the way sometimes that she like is looking at him, I'm like, is something about
she's
him?
She's kind of closing her eyes. Like if I just make out with him hard, I think I can get past
there's
whatever.
There's something,
you know,
about him. Like, you know, when you, and it sucks, because it's like sometimes, you know, you can't help it and you just get the ick, and the person is doing nothing wrong.
No, it's just,
it has nothing to do with that person, but it's like, there's something about the way that person eats or the way that they speak or the way that they like move their mouth. And then all of a sudden you're locked in on that. I don't know what it is, but she's giving off, she's radiating energy to me about there's something about Devin's energy that she has gotten the ick.
Yes.
And she's trying to push through it because she's like, I really love being with him. I love spending time with him. He's a great chat, a great hang. Mm-hmm. And he clearly is over the moon and giving me everything I've technically asked for, but I'm going to try to push through it because I have this ick. And I don't know what, like, that's the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Like, she knows that he's giving her everything she wants, but then she's got this ick factor and she's battling.
It's a palpable ick too.
Yeah.
Like, I can sense it.
You can sense it too.
Because when you see on the Marcus date, she's literally like leaning into him, petting him.
Well, same thing
him.
With Jonathan too. I feel like her, when you saw the difference between her and Devin together versus then her and Jonathan,
there was a
difference in her energy.
Yes.
When Devin was saying all the things on this date, she just would kind of go, mm-hmm.
I mean, he's showering her with like extreme romance, like the perfect words, support, you know, he's just being so like oozy, and you see her just being like, totally. And it's just like, whoa, it's interesting when that happens. You can't really, it's like, it's palpable. It's obvious that
even
there is
the
just
goodbye
a,
at the end where he's like, I love you. And she's like, okay, bye.
She said, okay.
And she goes, okay,
that's like
bye.
A panic response.
She like ran away.
That's a panic response.
And listen, you all know that I'm not a Devin fan, but I cannot lie to you. This specific episode, I was sweating for him. Even though I'm not a Devin fan, I was sweating for him, because if I was in his circumstance where clearly last episode, you know, he was on the fence about certain things.
Maybe you have the same ick she does. And you guys don't even know what it is.
What it is.
But there's just an ick.
I don't know what it is, but it's like, I'm not a fan, but in this episode, I was like drenched in sweat watching it for him.
Yeah.
Because last episode, it felt like, you know, he was on the fence about certain things. And again, he almost pulled the plug and left when her ex showed up. So I was like, question mark about that. I'm like, I don't know, man. And I still think, and we'll talk about it, there's a lot of, there's immaturity in the way that it's like, I'm going to tell her that I'll wait for her, but I need her to say this to me immediately. There's that. But I cannot lie. If I was in his situation and declaring my love for someone the way that he was declaring his love for her and consistently and giving everything the way he was giving it.
Yes.
And I got the mm-hmm responses and the okay, bye. I would be absolutely spiraling. And I did feel for him. I would be absolutely spiraling.
Well, can we start with the helicopter ride?
Evan, Evan, how?
How many,
Evan,
right?
How?
That's like number four.
Like, I need to ask you how. The first thing they do in Hawaii is a helicopter. Now, granted, in Hawaii,
everyone knows about the helicopter rides.
But I'm saying
it's
the helicopter
very
rides in Hawaii, it's like the what you're looking at, the glorious waterfalls, the landscape is unbelievable. So it's a different energy. Mm-hmm. But still, there are so many other things. And they make this woman get in a helicopter again. I think there's been 7 sky dates.
Well, clearly exposure therapy. And it seems to be rubbing off. It seems to the fact that she's like fine now. You
before,
know what I mean?
No, it's true. But honestly, before the season started, Jen's therapist was like, producers, I want you to try something for her.
We need to try something different.
Keep her in the sky 24/7.
But something happened on that date, which is one of the most brutal things of what?
Okay, I need to add. Okay, no, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but you and I watched this separately.
Yes.
And if it's what?
Of course it is what it is.
I had a moment. Okay,
no,
if it's what?
Duh. Are you kidding me? If you don't get this right, I'd be like, are we even married?
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, they have like a microphone, which is really weird. Do you notice that?
And they have to
like,
share it?
Yeah, like the share. Like, he's like, babe, you look so hot. And she has to like grab the mic from him and be like, thanks. Like, it's very weird to share a microphone. Like,
so strange.
Try to podcast with one microphone
know,
and be like, isn't that crazy? And then like hand it over to see what you say. So that was already kind of weird. But so they're cruising over. It's gorgeous, whatever. But nothing, to be honest with you, if what happened, what I'm about to talk about, happened to me, I would open up the door
and just
jump out. He goes, the ocean is like so blue. Uh-huh. And she goes, which is crazy. She did this because it's she hit on him.
Yes.
So he didn't hit on her.
No, he was just like, the ocean's so blue.
It'd be one thing if like he's trying to win her over.
Yes.
Because he likes her so much.
Yeah. She was flirting with him.
And then he fucks up the flirt.
Uh-huh.
She, who doesn't love him,
uh-huh,
and it clearly has an ick, flirts with him by saying, almost as blue as your eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, I don't have blue eyes. And then she goes, oh yeah, you don't. I mean, that is brutal for her, but out of body brutal for him.
That is one of those moments where for him,
that is soul crushing.
It's like, what do I do with my hands? Like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I don't know how to respond.
And this is where I give him his flowers.
Yeah.
This happened figuratively like 6 times during this date.
Yeah.
Where it was like heart on the floor. Heart out in his hands, crushed.
Yeah.
And he kept coming.
Listen, as much as I'm not a fan, I've had to give him his flowers numerous times through the season. The way that he handled Aaron, the way that he's handled certain conflict, he keeps it together.
I would have shut down after number one, maybe number two. He pushed through seven of them.
There were so many moments in this episode where he would just like put his heart out there on a literal platter. And she goes, mm-hmm. And he just kept going. And you could see it on his face.
Oh my gosh. I gotta say, the guy's a fighter. I mean, the guy is not, he's Rocky. He's Rocky Balboa. It's knock him down. He keeps getting back up. Now, I will say a part of it is like, hey man, learn from the first one or two.
Yeah.
Don't keep going back to the well thinking that you're going to get a result. Like sometimes you just got to like put it out there. You put it out there during the hometowns. Maybe we just let it sit.
But I get why he keeps putting it out there, to be fair, because she keeps saying that that's what she wants.
That's true.
So when she's asking for it, and he did it later in the date too, where at one point after the helicopter ride and they hit, like they like came to the waterfall and they were sitting and having champagne afterwards, he literally said to her, he was like, I love you. And I know exactly why I love you. I can tell you why. And he listed it off. And she's had certain conversations where when she had approached the men about her fears, it was like, I don't know if you guys can see past my boundaries. Mm-hmm. And even there was moments where we heard Jonathan say, I don't want to say I love you because I don't know if I'd be able to tell you exactly what about you. Devin did specifically say, he's like, not only I'm going to tell you I love you, I'm going to give you specific reasons why. And then also Jen's concern has been, is someone ready at the end of this? And he said left, right, and sideways, I see you as my fiance.
No, he gave
I want to
her...
get married to you. I want to have kids. I want to be, you know, extraordinary people living a normal life because I didn't get normal and that seems extraordinary. I mean, like he said everything that she wanted to hear, which is why, like you're saying, after one or two misses, I get why he kept pushing, because he is, like you're saying, it's Rocky energy where he's like, I'm going to keep fighting until the
very
end.
And then they keep going, right? Oh, yeah. No. Then she followed up even gnarlier with, I know this is a good thing and I want to let you know I'm trying.
I know.
Now, honestly, that sounds like in a movie when the lead cheats.
Yeah.
And the person who got cheated on is like, I know we have a family.
And I'm going to try.
But I'm trying to get past the affair.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
Well, it was interesting to me because it was.
And he's just talking about liking him back.
Right.
And she's like, I'm trying so hard to like him, but it is really hard.
But it was a mirror because it's like she told him she was trying and Marcus told her, I'm trying.
No, that was wild.
It was weird. It was like the three of them were the Spider-Man meme. Because it was literally like, it was, she's going, I'm really trying, Devin. And then Marcus is like, I'm really trying, Jen. And then Jonathan's just off floating around somewhere.
That's
just
why,
happy-go-lucky.
Because it was a mirror. Yeah. That's why I truly believe raw connection beats everything on paper being
for
right.
Her.
Because it's like, literally the guy who's doing everything you ever wanted.
Yeah.
You're giving the same treat. You're giving the friendship treatment to.
Yeah.
And the guy that you have a raw attraction to is giving you the same treatment, yet you're following him around like a puppy dog. It's like very interesting.
Okay. I have more thoughts, but we have to take another quick pause. It was so intense.
Oh my gosh.
I was dripping. I'm dripping right now just talking about it. I'm like drenched in sweat. So family. So some of these fantasy suites have me wanting to see some of our contestants and lead on screen walk away. Sorry, it's brutal, but I feel like there's some situations where some walking away should be happening on this season, okay? And speaking of walking, I'm a walker now. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It helps my brain a bunch. Lots of walking helps it so much. But problem is, in my old shoes, after all this walking, my feet would be aching, made me not want to walk the next day, honestly. But now my feet are singing with joy because I got Vionic Walk Max sneakers. Vionic Walk Max sneakers for him and her, for everyone, baby. They are perfect for all day wear, staying active, or your everyday go-to. And this is the science-led design informed by biomechanics. And when I tell you, you can feel the science the moment you put them on your feet. I have never had this happen before in my life with a pair of shoes, where the second I put that pair of shoes on my feet, I literally felt like, whoa. It's hard to put into words, but you got to get a pair. They're incredible. That's all I can say. I wear them everywhere, on walks, all day, at theme parks, shopping, living, just everywhere. They're the most comfortable.
So comfortable. It's true. I wore my Vionic Walk Max sneakers to a theme park the other day, 12 hours straight.
It was a long day.
Feet felt amazing. Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology is what sets them apart. This exclusive podiatrist design technology features unmatched underfoot contours, providing stability and support through every stride. They began by revolutionizing medical orthotics. Today, they continue to use that science to engineer shoes that leave you feeling energized and confident all day.
And they're so cute. I love the way that their shoes look. I'm obsessed. Also, check out their Uptown Loafer. So chic and beyond comfortable. Great for some like cute little like dresses and stuff. I love them. Just check out their website. They have a great shopping experience and a big variety of fantastic shoes. By the way, they even offer a 30-day guarantee. Wear them, love them, or return for a full refund within 30 days. Use code MOMDAD at checkout for 15% off your entire order at www.vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. This is one-time use only. Again, that's code MOMDAD at www.vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Okay, so back to Devin. I'll never get over the eye comment. I can't believe the fact that that was what we were both thinking, because I was like, I saw that, I was like, oh no,
It was like,
oh no.
It was like if one of your friends was standing there, it would have been like, Like everyone would have been like walking away.
It was so brutal. It was so brutal.
Oh my gosh. It was cover the eyes brutal.
But during the day portion of their date, when she was talking to him about how she'll try to get there, she's going to try.
Yeah, my feelings haven't caught up yet.
They haven't caught up yet. You seem too good to be true. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, which I can understand that. I can understand when you've been hurt a bunch that you're like, I'm nervous about you because you seem too perfect on paper. And so like, what are you hiding type thing?
But that's not what's going on.
But that, I don't think that's what's going on. I don't think so.
I mean, she's saying stuff like, she said this, I'm trying every day for you. Again, that's the affair scene in a movie. I'm trying not to remember what you did to me.
Yeah.
If someone, I'm too insecure.
Unless
if someone
reading
said that to
her
me,
wrong, because Evan, I did not think she was interested in Marcus at all. And I clearly was wrong about that. So I'm reading her wrong, but I feel the ick.
The
energy.
Only thing you could read wrong is like Jonathan, because very little happened emotionally between them during that date. You don't really know how they feel about each other. There's just that energy where you're like, is it just kind of whatever? Are they both just kind of cool? Mm. There was a lot of energy Devin towards her. There was a lot of energy her towards Marcus. But the Jonathan felt very vanilla. It felt very like, I don't know.
Oh, so, I disagree.
No, I'm just saying like, it felt very like, okay, there it is. But for me, the Devin was so obviously... He started to feel it, so then he would kind of double, triple down, and then she would get feel it on the opposite way and kind of start to back up, back up, back up. The more he pushed, the more she pulled. It was definitely like she was like too much from the wrong guy.
Well, this is where I felt like this is then when Devin might have made a mistake. So Devin, in that conversation, when she's like, I'm trying, he let her know. He's like, no worries, I'm there. As long as you need, I'm there. Cut to 24 hours later, he's like, I need to know immediately, which I don't blame him for, because I would be spiraling too. But when you do tell somebody, hey, I'll wait for you forever, it's very romantic novel,
it's very
Akatar, like I'll wait 500 years for you. And so you're like, okay, maybe this guy's gonna wait and wait and wait, and she'll get engaged to somebody else, but he's still there, he'll always be there. But 24 hours later, he was like, I need you to sign the check between do you like me, do you love me, yes or no, check the box right now. Like, I need it right now. And I think that was the mistake that he made, is like communicating like, no, it's all good, take your time, when he was like, no, I need you to communicate with me whether you like me.
I think he was telling her what he felt like movie wise would be a good idea.
Yeah.
But I think deep down he knew that like that's not true. Because who says that to like some girl you've known for 4 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, you don't say that to someone you just met who you really have a big crush on and you maybe you've fallen in love with. I'll wait for you forever.
Also,
it's like,
the way
what
this show
this?
Works,
like,
what's
on,
tough is
on
like
horseback
in these final episodes, you oftentimes don't have a lead sharing that they love you. So, you know, it is part of the show. Now, granted, she does tell Marcus that she's in love
exactly.
with him. But I'm saying he doesn't know that. So I'm saying the show in general, it's a tough one.
But
because sometimes you can't hear right away.
You're right. But he knows something's up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not simply like I'm just someone who's not willing to move that fast.
Yeah.
He knows someone else is getting more than him.
Yes.
That's what's making him lose his mind.
Yeah. And like he said, he's like, I've experienced in my life where I'm second or third.
Exactly.
And I can feel like I'm a one, but not
yes,
the one.
And that's exactly what you are, sir.
That's what it feels like.
You are reading it correctly.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. But during the night portion, it's just the same song and dance, honestly. Mm-hmm. At one point, she says that this almost makes her want to run away because it feels so good to be true, right? And he says that he doesn't throw... that he loves people around. He's like, I don't say that. I want to call you my wife. I want to call you my fiance. And then she pauses like she's about to say, Devin, I love you too. But she said, I can't tell you how much you mean to me.
And then she even addressed, she's like, I know I keep saying that over and over, but it does mean something. Just so you know, buddy, pal, friend, Jer Bear,
comrade,
Dev Dog.
Dev Dog.
Once you comrade. Got hit with the Dev Dog, just like Jer Bear did, it's over.
I think that's maybe when the spiral
it's
began.
It's over.
Well, they're given the fantasy suite card from Jesse, which, by the way, I would love like if Game of Roses or someone analyzed the handwriting over the seasons. Like, does the handwriting match? Because obviously
it.
It's the intern, but I just think it would be funny to see just a lineup of all the different fantasy suite notes signed by Jesse and all the different handwriting.
They're probably
over the
just
years.
Like handwriting number 4 in Microsoft Word or something. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, I bet
like,
an intern does it.
You think it's actually written?
Yeah, I don't even think it's that fancy that they're putting it in and like taking it. No, I think it's just some random intern who's like, all right, like, will all you right. accept this? Yeah. And here's some like massive Beauty and the Beast looking key instead of a key card.
It's a who's got the best writing? Go ahead, do it.
The
kind
second
of vibe,
I saw that key, that big key that was given to them.
Yeah, what are those
them,
called? Skeleton keys?
Skeleton key. Yeah. As soon as I saw the skeleton key, I was like, if Evan was a contestant on this show, he'd lose the key before he got to fantasy suite.
Funny, funny, funny. No, Jess. I don't have one for you. That's very true. I would have lost the key.
From the table to the suite, you're like all excited to get in and you
No,
and
I would get back. No, no, no.
Key.
I wouldn't lose the key. I'd go to the room with her and then be like, shit, sorry. And then I have to run back to the table, ask if they found it.
Someone threw away
Someone
the skeleton
threw it away.
Key.
I'm digging through the trash.
Yes. Or you go back to the fantasy suite, you get the door open, it locks behind you, you have a robe on getting some ice and then you can't get in and she's fallen asleep and you're pounding on the door and then, you know.
Correct. Apologies.
That's
in my
Evan
underwear. Yes, this is. But we love me. You love me.
Oh, but they're back in the fantasy suite and you know, they're sitting on the bed and they're doing some kissing, but he's doing a lot of expressing his feelings for her and she's doing a lot of she's definitely the quietest on this date.
Big
she
time.
Talked way more with Jonathan and Marcus.
Big time. And let's be real, I feel like I would have, and I don't know if they did this during the, but I feel like I would have asked her, have you told anybody else you love them? Because I would have been like, if you have, then I know I'm screwed. Yeah. But if you've told no one, I might have a chance.
Yeah. Good point.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he didn't ask because the next morning he hugs her and kisses her and says, love you. And she hits him with the 1-2 punch, two letters. Okay. Which... Hey, Jen, prepare better. No, he's going to hit you with that and come up with something better than okay. Hit him with
last night was amazing.
You. Last night was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to
time.
See you soon. Yeah, but like, okay,
I'll be thinking about you.
Okay. Is when your dad texts you back and you go, Dad, I got into this university. And he just goes, okay. You know
and
how
you're
boomers
devastated
text?
Devastated for forever. Yeah.
She boomer text. His face. Thumbs up. She like the next move would have been like a visual thumbs up to his face.
Well, don't forget the moment where the next morning when they wake up, that clearly this was inserted later because you could tell by the sound quality. Yeah. It was kind of like it almost sounded like she recorded on a phone and producers were like, we need this clip to throw in here last minute. We hear her say, people say that Devin looks like Pete Davidson.
Oh, yeah, this was weird.
But after last night, I'd say he's better than Pete Davidson in every way.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, producers, why did you make her say that?
And this is brought to you by Pete Davidson's new movie, Drop It. It was like almost an ad.
It's like, what? Because clearly this was inserted later with her saying, people say he looks like Pete Davidson.
Yeah, because it's like, wait, you're in the middle of the show. Like,
I guess unless he said to her, yeah, people always tell me I look like Pete Davidson.
I don't see that at all. Do you?
No, not really. I mean, I get a little bit. His eyes maybe a little bit. But she said that, remember, night one. She was like, oh, like he's Pete Davidson vibes. And she likes Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
But for her to say people say he looks like Pete Davidson and then throw in
the
big dick energy comment.
Yes.
Because it's like Pete Davidson, but he's better than Pete Davidson in every way.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was very weird.
It was like, producers, why did you
make
it?
Was like they were trying to squeeze something positive out of like a really weird vibe.
I think so.
They're like, I might not love him, but the guy's got a dick on him.
Oh, God, Evan.
That was basically what that said. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what was going on right there. They're like, all right. Pete Davidson's own. You know what I mean? It was like, it was so random.
But that was really like, that was the best of what came out with it with them. Like where she even at one point before she leaves, she's like, hey, you know, I feel like I deserve a good thing and I'm learning that. And I hope that helps you get out of your head. Like she knows he's in his head.
Yes.
So even if he hasn't asked her directly, like she knows he's spiraling. She can tell. So she's like, I'm learning that I deserve a good thing. Da, 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 da. But then after she leaves, can we just talk about what happened at the very end so we can just have a full Devin segment?
Yes.
So after her dates then with Jonathan and with Marcus, we cut forward throughout, by the way, these dates, we're seeing Devin wandering the halls of the hotel, wandering outside at the beach. He's
in the worst sandals of all time, by the way. He's got those double strap sandals.
Oh no.
The ones that I hate. And not the cool like ones, like just literally like ones that have like geckos on them. You know what I mean? So his shirt's very nice. I love, by the way, big fan of his like waffle shirts. He's got like waffle button downs.
He does have
very nice.
Yeah.
The sandals, atrocity. So anyway, we'll just continue on from there.
Well, towards the very end of the episode, after he's wandering, questioning, tripping out, spiraling, we see him at the bar.
Yeah.
And I'm going to apologize in advance because this scene was actually like very sad because I understand
he was struggling.
The feeling that he was struggling it's clear to me because I was back and forth and I always knew that I always said throughout this whole season, I was like, he really likes her.
Yes.
And after last week's episode, I was like, I don't know, that comment that his mom made, I don't know, maybe he's being possessive. Right. I don't know. I can still leave a question mark up to all those things. But what seems clear to me, at least in this episode, is that he does really like her.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yes.
And by a mile, the most out of all these remaining men. Like not even close. Okay. So I'm like, I got to give him that. So I don't mean to laugh, but the whole situation of this felt so like a Hallmark movie. I couldn't get over it. Like the fact that they had him sit at a bar stirring a gin and tonic, and then Jesse comes up and he's asking him all these questions, and the way that he's just like, you know, I don't sleep here. I haven't slept in days.
Yeah, like, I don't sleep here. Was very poetic.
And for him to go like, I'm giving and giving and she keeps growing from me and I'm withering away. I'm like, this was a Hallmark movie script that someone just like
got back to
stamped
the big city
together.
And I missed the small town gal.
It was all the lines were straight up. I was like, I don't mean to laugh, but I could not, this whole sequence, this whole scene, I was like, is this for real?
Right. And, the sleepless nights are driving me wild.
No, when he said, you know, I don't sleep here. It felt torturous. Yeah. I don't sleep here.
I don't sleep here.
It's not like that line isn't, I haven't slept.
No.
It's
a written line. Yeah.
I don't sleep here.
Right.
Is from a novel. I don't sleep here is like, that line will haunt me.
Right.
For weeks.
Gotta say though, that guy's crying real tear. You know what I mean? He's not crying.
Yeah. No.
He's
no,
not.
No.
The difference though is I feel like he's not crying, I feel bad for myself tears. The vibe I'm getting is, he's crying like, I'm actually in love and it's not going to happen. That's the energy I'm getting.
Okay. I don't know 100% about that.
I'm just saying like the way he's crying is like pretty raw.
No. So these tears, I believe.
Yeah.
And in past circumstances, we've had men who, you know, are like, I got to talk to the lead.
Right.
And I don't want to give him an ultimatum, but I'm going to show up and be like, if you don't tell me this, I'm leaving type thing. And I think a lot of times the guys that do that are, it's a little bit of a show.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a, will I be a bachelor moment?
Sure.
I don't get that from him.
No.
I do genuinely think, now I don't know if it's like a full, I'm crying because I'm going to lose her. I think there's probably a combination in there. Like, I feel bad for myself.
Sure. Of course.
You know, but, I do think that he will show up to her suite and do the ultimatum thing. And I don't like the ultimatum thing. I get it. If I was in that circumstance and I was falling for somebody, I'd get it. It would be so tempting to do the ultimatum thing.
Yeah.
But if he does it, it's just like, it's just to put the lead in that position. It's kind of like, well, we all know what we signed up for.
Right.
And Jesse kept saying like, just hold out. Obviously it's torture.
He's like, just hold out because I really need this season to go well. And you can't be leaving this early. What I will say though, I don't think so much he's going to go to the ultimatum.
Okay.
I think he knows he's already dead. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
I think it's kind of like, when you're anxious and you're asking everybody for advice, but you know what the answer is, but you just really don't want to deal with it. And so it scares you. I think that's what's going on with him. I think he knows, I put myself out there multiple times, zero response.
Yeah.
I know unless she says to me, I'm so sorry. No, I do love you. You are my pick. I am gone.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, I know this is the end for me. After hooking up, hanging out, putting myself out there, I got enough information there to know that like someone else or both guys are ahead of me. Mm-hmm. I think that's the energy. I see a hopelessness in his eyes. Not like a, I'm going to show her or she's going to, she has to make a choice. I think he knows she already made the choice.
Okay.
That's my personal vibe on it.
All right. I have a few thoughts before we move on to Jonathan. Okay. But we got to take another quick pause. Fam, listen, I feel like we try to have those time savers to free up time in our work day, right? I feel like we all do, like automating tasks, getting a food delivery service. I mean, Jesse Palmer writes a letter during Fantasy Suites instead of throwing on a suit and showing up, right? That's
yes.
a time saver,
time.
Okay? Being able to run your business or your schedule is important. If mailing items like legal documents, checks, or marketing materials takes up a lot of your time, stamps.com is the time saver you need. Cut down hours spent on mailing and shipping with stamps.com and do it on your timeline, not anyone else's. We have used stamps.com for business and personal uses for about a decade at this point, and we keep using stamps.com because it truly does save so much time and money.
Yeah. Speaking of the money, with stamps.com, you can get rates you can't find anywhere else, like up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And you can access the USPS and UPS mailing services you need to run your business right from your computer or phone anytime, day or night. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Truly, all you need is a computer and a printer. They even send you a free scale. Which
and
is
really nice. It's so nice. And you can easily schedule package pickups through your stamps.com dashboard. I mean, it's as smooth as it can possibly get. By the way, if you have a business with stamps.com, you seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell products online, and you can order shipping and mailing supplies, labels, and even printers from the supply store when you run low. It's just the ultimate time saver. I don't know. It's just the best. It's one of those no-brainers. I'm never not going to use stamps.com. It's just the best. Free up more time for more important business with stamps.com. Sign up at stamps.com and enter code MOMDAD for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and that free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code MOMDAD. Okay, back to Devin. So one of the things I wanted to say is that you brought up, you know, him continuing to say all the things
yeah.
and why, if you were in his shoes, you would ask.
Yeah.
So have you said it to anybody
right.
else or not? The vibe that I was getting when he had the conversation with Jesse is that he said that he wants to know, he wants to like directly ask her, do you love me
mm-hmm.
or no?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I said a lot of the things that I felt like she needed to hear. He's like, I meant them, but I told her the things that she needed to hear. And I didn't ask some of the questions. And now I want to ask the question. So my guess, when I brought up him giving the ultimatum, I do think that he might show up to her room
yeah.
and start it off as just a question. Like, you know, do you love me? And depending on her answer, it might become ultimatum.
Yeah.
Even if he's not intentionally going in with an ultimatum, which he even said to JP, he was like, I'd never give her an ultimatum, but I can't feel like this anymore. So I think it's a little bit like there's a pride element involved. And it's like, I don't want to be left hanging here.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned before, I do think there's an immaturity there to
yeah.
a certain extent about
okay.
like, I'm going to say all the things. And then if I don't hear it back, the idea of you saying it to somebody else, I'm spiraling.
Sure.
But after watching this episode, though I do think it is an immaturity that's there a
yeah.
little bit, I can't lie and say that I would be mature enough to handle it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd handle it well.
Right, right,
I'd
right.
probably be doing the same thing.
Right.
So I gotta, you know, I gotta put that out there.
Right.
So, you know, the episode ended where he's knocking on the door
yeah.
and he's about to have a conversation where he said that he's going to ask those brutal questions and put the brutal truths out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know how well that's going to go.
I was a little pissed at the show that they made a trailer for the episode about the next episode. Like the beginning of the show was about him going into the room.
I know.
And then it's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Like usually you
like, how
do a
dare
you do the beginning of the show featuring what will happen at the end,
uh-huh.
but they featured what will happen at the next episode in the beginning. So it was a very like misleading. I was like, okay, chill. Like I'm trying to like actually see what happens. But yeah, I think he's gone.
Do you want to know what's a devastator though?
Mm.
and I didn't think about this until, like, I can't even believe I didn't put two and two together. They're having the men tell all. And if they show the scenes during the men tell all of, like, this fantasy suite rose ceremony, whoever gets kicked off might have time with the men.
Yeah.
But if Devin doesn't get kicked off or doesn't leave, he won't be at the men tell all with Sam. So there's a chance that we never see the Sam-Devin face-off. Because they don't include the final two guys. And then if they have the rose ceremony shown and one of the guys gets kicked off, they typically give the guy some time, but they don't even it's not like the full throttle.
If that's the case, then I really am voting for him to leave. So that because we need the showdown.
We need it.
Because we also need the Devin versus, what's his name?
Thomas,
like he created a couple enemies in there. So we need the Sam Thomas, you know, versus the Sam versus the other Sam versus Devin. We need that showdown.
It's like if Maria wouldn't have been at the last women tell all.
Oh, my God.
And it would have been like Sydney would have been there to talk all about Maria without Maria being there. Yeah. But if Devin stays, we're not going to get the Sam and Devin and Thomas Devin showdown, which honestly is like. Makes me feel ill because we need it so badly.
I'd be devastated. Yeah.
So I didn't think about that. Now I'm really bummed out.
I think he'll be there. I think he's gone.
You think he's gone? But even if he, let's just say he shows up, it won't be the same as him sitting with all the men. Like it would be again during like the women tell all when Maria was like sitting with the women from
the
top.
Crowd.
It won't be the same thing.
It won't.
I'm so bummed out.
I know. Because that's the showdown we all needed. Because when they're sitting next to each other, then they really go at it.
Yeah, and they're just like kind of backstage.
Yeah. And they're like
brewing
together.
They're talking to the other guys and it's like, ooh, it's just bubbling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's a devastator. Anyway,
Jonathan?
we shall see. By the way, everyone knows what happened at this point if they're listening to this and they've watched the Men Tell All episode because
true.
It came out on Tuesday.
True.
So anyways.
But you know, a lot of people didn't watch it like live.
That's
I bet
true.
There'll be a lot of people who watch it the next day.
That's
so.
True. Well, anyway, let's move on to Jonathan's one-on-one date. So Jonathan says from the top, he's like, I don't know if Jen knows the depth of me like someone who would get engaged to me should know.
You know what? I agree too. To me,
I mean, it's this show. That's what this show is.
Right.
Is like,
but I do agree. Like, I do agree.
But sometimes things happen, you know, work.
That like Devin does know, but she's not into him.
Mm.
Jonathan's a little bit like, how did I get this far? That's the energy I'm getting. Jonathan hits me as like, I like you a lot. You seem to like me a decent amount. But like, I'm nowhere near saying I'm like, we're in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a little shocked I'm here right now. Like, that's the energy I'm getting. He's like, dude, like, and I've loved Jonathan the whole way through.
Love him.
Not a
love
single
him.
Red flag I've seen. Everything's been amazing. There was one red flag, though. Yeah.
You know what? This is a problem. This you and I watched
we're,
this
we're
show.
We're an old married
we
couple that has blended into the same person.
Separately, yes. And this podcast is probably so boring because we have the same, our brain is connected because
But
we
guys,
thing.
this is a red flag that I gotta say.
Go ahead and say it because it was my one red flag because I've never had a red flag with Jonathan this show
but,
and I, this
but
happened
we
and I was
saw the
like,
red flag. And the red flag is I can't have sweets because I'm shredded. And I won't even have a cheat day on national television. And I'll make such a stink about it. I'll bring it up multiple times.
He's an ITM saying, you know, I'm not going to waste my day. Def worth the cheat day for Jen. But like it was a thing for
he
him.
Said, I'm not a sweets guy. He brought it up enough times to where later on she goes, I know you didn't love the date, but do you like this? Here's like a waterfall or whatever.
So she already knows that about him when they pulled up that he was like, you know, I'm not a sweets guy. So they've had that conversation.
He's the guy that like it's chicken breasts and rice
I
when
was
you're
say,
at a Michelin star restaurant in Paris. He's going,
saying,
do you guys have chicken breasts without
we're
the seasoning?
We're going to Disneyland together on
no,
a little cute
no churros.
Date, and he has packed in his backpack the unseasoned boiled chicken.
He's got boiled chicken and,
while
and
I
sweet
eat French
potatoes.
Fries and yeah, and my churros.
And you're like, I'm like, can I get a second side of ranch for my fries? And he's like, I had boiled chicken yesterday as a cheat day. Like he brought it up multiple times. Like
no,
he was rattled by it.
He was really bothered by it.
I'm and like, brother, you gotta chill, man. You gotta have some fun. You're in Hawaii and you want to have like a roadside suite.
Well, my and thought he took
like little bites of the donut and he's like, he's like, let me just count how many, sugar grams that
and
is.
And listen,
for the day.
Like, you know what? If that's the way that you want to live your life, respect Absolutely. To however you want to live your life. But I'm just saying, if I'm on a date with someone and we've only gone on what now this is our third date together, and we are having our fantasy suite date and we are on television, we might get engaged. And you are really tripping over the fact that this is going to have to be a cheat day. I'm like, what's the rest of our life going to look like? Are we never going to be able to go out to restaurants together?
Honestly,
when we go out to a theme park, when we go to the park, like if I bring cheesecake or if I bring, you know, chicken Jesus. Tenders, are you going to just be like,
are you going to be stripping off the breading?
Oh, God.
You know what? For me, though, I think it showed how much he doesn't really like her that much because
that was your tell.
My take was, if you're making a stink.
Yeah.
About cheat days.
Yeah.
On national television while you're quote trying to win this person's heart. If that's the priority to you and this is like a big sacrifice to you, I don't think you like her that much.
See, I disagree because I do feel like he has been the guy who's been so honest the entire time that I think he's just going to be direct where it's like, it doesn't matter who it is, I'm not going to miss my cheat day or I'm not going to have my cheat day.
Mm.
I'm not going to mess up my... You know, I'm in ketosis and I'm not willing to break ketosis.
He just reached ketosis that day.
He's been like, no. 40 days straight of ketosis.
Yeah, he made a big stink about it. Enough for her to like address it, which I thought was hilarious, but also like, brother, lighten up.
It's like, when is this going to happen ever again?
I know.
This specific moment.
When are you
going to
have
moment?
This incredible memory? And now your cut is talking about the sweets. Yeah.
But you could tell by his face that it actually did
bother him. It rattled him.
That was so funny. But no, that was my one red flag for Jonathan. I was like, would be really, at least that would be hard. I guess if you're wired that way too, whatever. But I'm like, for me, that would be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd be like, what about all the fun we'd have eating delicious, yummy desserts and food together? Yeah. You know, that's my most favorite thing is
best.
To go to like a cute little bakery and like devour sugar and pastries together. It's romantic.
Very.
But aside from that, you know, they go to some local markets. They do shaved ice later, more sweets. I'm like, oh, he's tripping.
They had like a cocktail. Either it was a cocktail or like a sweet drink.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, no.
But they go and they have this picnic by this stunning waterfall. And I have to tell you, though, there was this one red flag. They make sense to me, Evan.
Sure.
I know that you were saying that you feel like it's not nearly as deep or close to the Devin or Marcus situation, but to me, I disagree.
No. I'm not saying it's not as deep as Devin. I mean, I think the Marcus, she's obviously the most into, but for me, it just is like, it's much more like early days vibes. It's like second date energy. It's middle of the season energy to me.
Yeah.
It's like he's like, I like you a lot. She's like, I like you a lot. And he's like, I'm just not there yet. And then, you know, like that's the energy I'm getting is that like she likes him maybe a little bit more than he likes her. But he just feels like, oh yeah, I'm dating this girl. She's really cool. But not like, oh my God, I'm really
I don't know what it is because maybe he's like, he seems like such a realist and is so upfront. They just make sense to me. Like when they're together, the difference between when I saw her with Devin and then even her with Marcus later. But when I saw her with Jonathan, she was having so much fun. She was playful. She was laughing 100%. The whole time. They did have really deep conversations, which we can talk about
later. I
think
later. In the real world, they
but
work
I'm
out.
But I'm like, the whole time that they're together, they're having a great time. She feels like she's herself. She's looking at his mouth the entire time, which is full the sign of like, I want to kiss you. And she's into him physically, too. And they just make sense to me. I feel like they'd be a really good couple.
I agree. I just don't see electricity. That's more what I'm getting
at. You don't see electricity?
I see like they're dating and having a good time.
No, I don't agree.
That's more what I'm getting at. It's like, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about proposals. And I just feel like they have the most potential, in my opinion. Seems like they're really healthy together.
Yeah.
The vibe's really good.
Yeah.
But they're just the farthest behind.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is I think, I don't even know if they're the farthest behind.
It's getting mid-season energy.
It's not like, hey, I'm going to go get down on one knee
tomorrow.
Saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think if she were to like look at this from 100 feet and not have the mentality of I need to get engaged at the end of this, it'd be like, to me, Jonathan's the clear front runner in the sense of, I feel like you get everything from him.
I completely agree.
He's you get the fun, the laughter, the play, you get the deep conversations with him. He's super honest. He's willing to go there. He's willing to go to some of those, like, you know, more tough, vulnerable places. But is he going to propose at the end? No. And I said last episode, he gives great boyfriend to me. Like, he's ready to be in a serious relationship. I really do think
they have 2-3 years of dating ahead of them.
But they're just not
far along.
I don't think he's going to be the one at the end because I think she wants to get engaged. But I guess it just bums me out watching it because I do feel like if they were my personal friends.
Yes.
If I was personally friends with Jen or Jonathan or both and I would be watching this show, I'd be like, yes.
I agree.
You found somebody.
Yes, I agree.
This is a great partner
for you. Great connection.
This is a great partner for you. I feel it.
Just put under too much stress about the whole marriage thing. 100%. I agree.
It just bums me out. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she keeps going with him. And maybe that's how it ends, is that they just don't. They stay together, yeah. You know, and she knocks on his door at the very end and is like, hey, I know that you're not ready to get engaged and I wanted it. But like, let's just end it here. Let's not have a. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Know. I agree.
But I just feel like when I see them together and I'm watching them, I'm like, this makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I completely agree with you. 100%. I think it's the right move. I think they have the most actual chemistry. They seem to be fun, loose. They seem to be carefree. I don't see a lot of like electricity. And I think she's someone who, not in a bad way, but I'm just saying she has these like things. Like with Sam, with Marcus, where she does, I feel like she really almost feels in her head that she needs that like raw energy. And she has that. And I think when she has that with someone, she has a really hard time thinking about anybody else. That's the energy I'm getting.
I don't doubt that. But what I'm saying is I feel that like pulsating energy between them because like I said, she's staring at his mouth the whole time and they're making out.
I think in the long run, they work out again. But in this pressure cooker, she's going off of just raw energy.
And also in the night portion. So after their day date together, she communicates, I feel like, the most with him.
Yeah.
They right away get into the conversation where he was like, hey, I want to partner with a lot of confidence. And you are that person. And she's like, wow, that's like amazing to hear. And she tells him about, you know, growing up with her parents who were Vietnamese immigrants and then growing up in this like white suburban neighborhood. Yep. It was hard for her, like, you know, talking about bringing the certain lunches to school that she would get made fun of. So she was hiding who she was. And just until these recent years, she's like really proud of who she is. She's not having those conversations. I don't feel like we're hearing her have near those conversations with a Devin or a Marcus.
But why are
she
neither
is having them with Jonathan?
Yes, but why are neither of them saying they love each other? We got Devin, who she likes the least, professing his undying love.
Yeah.
We got Marcus saying, you know, straight up, I don't love you. And her saying, I love you. So people are capable of feeling love. And these two people are both on the same page of like, we're not there yet. So that's what I'm saying.
Yes. And I think you're right. I'm saying it like bothers me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like what I'm watching is two people who would actually really work out. But because of the pressure cooker of this show,
happening.
I don't know if.
He's final too, obviously, in my opinion. But
I don't know, though, if a Jonathan or a Jen. This pressure cooker is the place for them. Genuinely.
Right.
I know she has her sights on getting engaged, but I do feel like she would have a better relationship in like an IRL situation.
Agree.
This is a pressure cooker. And if there's I could never do this.
Yeah.
I could never find my person in this situation. I'd be spiraling. There's no way.
I completely agree.
But when I look at her, I feel like she'd be better off in like a longer, you know, get to know you style relationship. And I feel that way about Jonathan too. And I feel like if they would have met in real life, that would be her person. But
agreed.
I'm nervous because I don't feel like it's going to happen because I don't think he'll get there.
I completely agree.
Anyway, sorry. I feel passionately about it because when I see them together and I watched this one-on-one, this fantasy suite date, it made my heart hurt because I feel like I'm seeing the inevitable end of the fact that he's not going to be the person that she leaves with because he's just not there and he's not in the space of saying I love you yet and that's what she wants. But it just feels like the right person.
Agreed.
I feel, even as much as I loved Grant, the more I see her and Jonathan together, I'm like, I think this is the right person, though.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. Anyway. I agree. Okay, we got to take one more quick pause before we keep diving in. So, babes, it's been hot. God, holy smokes.
Holy smokes. When will this
light up? I'm
sweating
right now. I'm like, we might have to turn on the AC in a second here because Mama is drenched. It's been so hot, dripping in sweat all day long, which means I need to make sure I am staying hydrated. And I used to have a hard time with water drinking because, to be honest, it bores my taste buds. Mm. It's true. But guess what? Liquid IV entered my life and it is so delicious with all the yummy flavors. I'm staying hydrated all the time. Indulge in hydration with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients from the number one powdered hydration brand in America, Liquid IV. And by the way, their summer flavors, Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet, beyond delicious. I'm just slurping all day. I have one of them right here with me.
They are so
delicious. I've got
my
Popsicle Firecracker and it is so good.
Yes, we've got our Liquid IV right here. It's so simple. You just have your little stick packet like we got
right
here.
We got our stick packets. We've already opened them.
16 ounces of water and boom, you have a delicious drink that hydrates better than water alone. I love the fact that you can take Liquid IV sticks everywhere. I have them on my laptop, gym bag, glove compartment, hockey bag, no big deal.
Of course, the hockey bag. I keep them in my purse and I pass them around to all of my friends on our nights out. I'm the most favorite friend because of that, obviously. I actually learned that trick, I believe, from Katie Thurston because she always has Liquid IV on her and she's always passing them out. And I'm like, what a savior. Yes. I want to become that person.
Big time.
I've copied her. And the flavors. I am living for the sugar-free Rainbow Sherbet right now. It is a meld of raspberry, orange, and lime delicious. You'll find so many amazing flavors on their website like Popsicle Firecracker, Acai Berry, Pina Colada, and so many more sugar-free flavors. And again, three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code MOMDAD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MOMDAD at liquidiv.com. Okay, so back to Jonathan. So, you know, they have their nighttime portion. They get the fantasy suite date card. They say yes. Going into the fantasy suite date, the actual suite, Jen says being with Jonathan is easy.
Yes.
And this is another moment where I'm like, yes, being with him is easy.
That makes total sense.
And in my humble opinion, yes, when you are with someone, I'm not saying that there aren't obstacles to overcome, but this early on in a process, I think one of the key things should be ease. Mm. Maybe that's a wrong take.
Well, I think it's personal. Some people say exciting.
Right.
Invigorating.
But for me personally, with a long-term relationship, again, you're going to always have your ups and downs and obstacles to overcome. But like with a one-on-one dynamic, this early on in a relationship, when you are already like grabbing on tooth and nail and there is already like drama in the first few weeks of knowing somebody, that to me is like, maybe this isn't going to be the right person. When I hear a friend of mine who is like, hey, for instance, Katie and Jeff, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing, Katie Thurston and Jeff Arcuri, one of the first things that I noted about that was that Katie was just like, everything's so easy with him. And it was just like, she met him and everything just like puzzle piece fit. And of course, you go through stuff and you work through things together. But like in general, that those early days are like, oh, this is like my person. This is easy.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Jen, I want to be like, yes, maybe he's not going to get engaged to you at the end.
Yeah.
But there's the ease to it.
Agreed.
Because maybe you found your person, you know, and it's not the person who you're trying to force yourself to fall in love with, a.k.a. Devin, or the person that you're trying to convince to fall in love with you, a.k.a. Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
we shall see. But then, you know, the next morning, I will say he woke up and he was very like positive. He was like, I feel amazing. Waking up next to you is incredible. He seemed very reassured by how natural it was, which I think for him is like a big win because he feels very like the guy who's taking note of like how it all feels and how it's going and is taking this really seriously, even if he's not like, I don't know if I'll propose at the end. But he was like, we'd had a lot of conversation during their fantasy suite. We talked openly, we talked thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And he left with a very positive feeling. And she left him seeming way more positively energetic than when she left Devin.
Yeah.
So I think top two are Devin or are Jonathan and Marcus. That's my guess.
I agree.
I think Devin's getting sent home.
He's gone. Yeah, yeah.
But anywho. So on to Marcus.
Yes.
So the first thing we see with Marcus before he gets even his one-on-one date is we have Golfing with Jesse, the new YouTube show Golfing with Jesse.
Meeting with dad.
They're at the driving range beforehand, hitting a couple balls. And Marcus basically is like, I haven't had that epiphany yet, but I'm doing all I can to get there. It's not fair to get down on one knee right now, considering how I'm feeling. And JP is just like, what can Jen do? What can she do to get you there? And he's like, I want to know that she sees me and peel back why she sees me and like gets me and knows me. And all I'm getting from this is, I guess, almost similar to Jen with Devin, where it's like at this early on, I get that there's the whole engagement thing at the end. But this early on, when you're like, I'm fighting tooth and nail to figure out why I'm not there yet, that to me, I go, okay, I get if you come in and you're like, nah, I'm never going to be ready for an engagement at the end, which is a Jonathan energy to me. But when you're like, I'm trying, I can't get there. It's like, well, it's maybe because it's not the person for you to get there with.
Yes.
Right?
Big time. It's also like his energy, even just on the driving range, there's not even like a playful, like we're playing golf here. It's very just like, he's like holding his thing and he's just staring at Jesse.
It's very intense.
And it's like, this is everything and it's very heavy. And I'm like, oh, I'm on the, you know, on the edge. And I'm just like, take a breath. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like very anxious, intense energy. And it's like, it's very, it makes me short of breath. You know what I mean? It's just like, chill out. This energy is like unrelenting.
Yeah. I mean, I felt that way with their entire.
Every time he's on screen, it's like unrelenting heaviness, which is so strange when the next scene is her talking about how fun and flirty she feels around him.
Yeah. I don't get it.
It's like fun and flirt. Have we seen any fun and flirty scenes?
Well, you know, after watching their whole date together, I kept going back to, again, you know, obviously maybe it's editing and we're missing their dynamic together. And other people I've heard have said like, yeah, they have killer chemistry. And I'm like, maybe we're just missing it. Yeah, I don't know. But I do feel like I keep going back to what we said last episode where I wonder, and we see her brother, a preview of her brother in the upcoming finale where he is saying to her, you know, I don't know. You always go for the person who's emotionally unavailable. And I'm assuming he's talking about Marcus the way that he's 100%. Referring to it. And he's like, I don't know how he's feeling about you here. Da, 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 da. And so, you know, if that is a habit and if that's something that she is working through changing, then it makes sense to me that Marcus would be, he's the person who she had the first date with. So she's going to feel attached to him. And then he's kind of more of a distant person. He's not giving her everything that these other guys are giving her. So then it makes sense to me that she'd be like, okay, it's the Sam and the Marcus where they're not giving me a lot and I'm drawn to that.
Yes.
You know,
being drawn to what you can't have or something, being drawn to like wanting something that's not there. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I can't really relate. I don't really understand that desire, so it's a little foreign to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I'm kind of watching it going like, if I was pouring into someone and they didn't really like me that much, or they were like, sorry, it's not happening, I don't, you know, it's not a thing for me. But it's very much a prevalent thing. Like a lot of people do feel that way where it's like, some people even say, you know, you hear people say like, oh, I like him so much because he just ignored me the whole day. And you're like, whoa, that's really interesting. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, like I could not feel farther from that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's obviously a thing, a very common thing.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's a little bit like from the outside, at least from the cut we're getting, where it's like, feels pretty blaringly obvious.
But I feel for Jen because I do feel like, you know, even though he's simultaneously continuing to say over and over again, like, I'm not there, I'm not there, while she's pouring her heart out, there is this piece where, from her perspective, she might feel like they're really connecting because he is always crying and is always getting into this emotional thing. So it's like
that, like, this emotion means he likes me, right, as opposed to, like, he's just emotionally got issues.
Maybe instead of the perspective of, like, okay, he clearly is, like, going, like, through a lot of stuff in his head right now, I would imagine it might be, if I was the lead, there's this feeling of, like, oh, he's crying because he loves me deep down and he can't just quite, like, tap into it yet.
Or that any of these emotions have even to do with me. He's got so much, he's so emotionally, like, traumatized or whatever's going on with him, to where it's like all he does is cry about kind of low-key himself.
Yeah.
And then I think that, like you said, she's getting kind of almost like hypnotized into, like, wow, look at all the emotion he's giving me on behalf of us.
That's,
and realistically, it's like none of it's about you. If he was in, this is like therapy sessions. It's like you're watching a guy.
Well, he's in a situation where it's like you're supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be speed, and he's like clearly not ready, and he's trying to force himself. And there is that kind of like militant energy of like, I'm supposed to get here. So now I'm putting this pressure on myself, and now I'm feeling shame. And then all these tears are coming from that. But as the lead, there might be this feeling of, oh, those emotions are because our connection is so deep, where I'm not necessarily getting that. I don't think that's what the tears are about. I think the tears are about a million other things.
100%.
But I do feel for her, because I think if you're in that position, and then you also have what it seems like she might have, which is like the tendency to go for the guys who are emotionally unavailable. So it's like, oh, there's this guy who kind of has this emotionally unavailable energy. But simultaneously, whenever I bring up something intense with him, he starts crying. So it is in there deep down, instead of realizing that those tears probably were about pressure and something else, not about their connection.
Agreed. It's also giving a little bit of like fixer thing. Like, I'll be the solution to all his problems.
Sure, yeah.
It's.
And again, I feel for her because, hearing all of what she's gone through.
It sounds like she has a history of kind of feeling this way.
Her trauma and her backstory. It's like, it makes sense to me. Then it'd be like, yeah, there'd be the tendency to maybe feel connection that way, even though what might be best for you is being loved in a different way.
Of course.
You know.
Absolutely.
But going back to Marcus and Jesse, there was a scene where, you know, Jesse all of a sudden stops and he's just like, do you know how much of an inspiration you are? And there was like this like long moment.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how throughout this season we were like, it seems to us like the show is really trying to push Marcus as the bachelor.
Yes.
And yet we end up getting Grant as the bachelor. And I'm like, okay, is it because Jen ends up with Marcus? But like, why is the show focused on him ending up as bachelor if she ends up with Marcus? You know, I don't know. But I wanted to address something.
Yeah.
So before we started recording this episode, I looked at our DMs and I had gotten numerous messages from people who were like, have you heard about the Marcus allegations?
Mm-hmm.
And so right before we started recording, I was briefly looking, and I want to apologize in advance because I just looked at it. So like, I need to do my due diligence and like actually dive into everything that's going on. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure if like specific named people have come forward, if it's anonymous, I don't know. But what I do know from briefly looking beforehand now is that there have been numerous allegations, very serious allegations that have come out, including essay allegations. And like I said, I need to dive more into this, but it is something that I really hope that the show addresses, because these are very serious allegations, and has a conversation about this, especially considering that, you know, I don't know if Marcus is going to end up being a final two, but he's already in this final three, and you know, I am assuming he's going to be final two.
Seems
so,
like
it. You know, whether that be during the mental all or during after the final rose, I just hope that this conversation happens. Mm-hmm. And again, apologies in advance that I don't know details, about these alleged conversations and allegations. But on that note, I did just want to take a quick moment to say to anyone who's listening who is a victim or a survivor that we love you. And I am so sorry. I'm so sorry if the legal system has failed you. I know RAIN is an amazing organization. We donate to RAIN, mm-hmm. and they have a national essay hotline. We can call. There are resources there. But just wanted to take a moment and say that we love you so much. But yes, did not know about that.
Yeah.
And am now thinking that there's possibly, that might possibly be a reason why it looked like they were building him up to be Bachelor,
and then
this conversation started online. Yeah. But, you know, there's then the other conversation to get into about casting in the future.
Yeah.
And with all these things coming up, just having those conversations and making sure beforehand. But anywho, just wanted to take a moment to address that. And thank you to those who sent me that, and I'm going to be diving more into it. But Marcus and Jen mm-hmm. end up having their date, mm-hmm. and it's another date where, you know, they put them, I feel like, in like a high adrenaline situation. Yep. It's like skydiving, where it's like, it's very different to have a date where you're at a market and just like chit chatting with each other versus a date where, in this case, they had like this sunset date where they started snorkeling with manta rays that were like bioluminescent. You're like, your blood's pumping, yeah. the adrenaline's going, and you don't really have to have too much of a conversation. Obviously they had the boat ride before. But yeah, it was just another one of those dates where it's yep. just like adrenaline.
Yep. Not much talking going on when you're in the ocean face down in the water.
No. And it's just like, yeah, the blood is pumping.
Let's
and
just
it's
pump
just,
good energy.
Yeah. And
you
it's
know
just
what I mean?
Exciting.
Yeah.
And, then, you know, that ended up going into their night portion, which it must have been very late at that point.
Yeah.
Because they were doing a sunset snorkel session.
So we're probably 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
Like already it's like mm-hmm. so late, and then they're going to have like the overnight. But during the night portion of this date, she asks him to cheers. And, you know, the cheers is, I did miss you. And whenever we get together, it is quite a memory, and I'm happy to be here. It was not this like intimate, deep, emotional mm-hmm. cheer situation. It was like, I'm happy at this moment right now. And every time we get together, there's this big, exciting memory. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're on a show that's
yeah.
creating those. And this isn't, you know, this
it
is
almost
about,
just feels like some of these, like, how could you not fall in love? It feels like sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think
like,
the show is created
you're literally
to,
in these
to get you to that.
Incubators of connection.
Yeah, the show is created to get you mm-hmm. to that space for sure. And then he tells her that he is nervous, and he was nervous because the rose ceremony last week, he realized that he could go home while he was trying, and it got in his head, which surprised me that that made him nervous. The rose ceremony, like that he thought he was a shoo-in after. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was surprised by that he was nervous after the rose ceremony, that it wasn't like, oh, you know, now that we're in this like top three, I'm feeling nervous. I got the vibe that he was saying that he was nervous because he almost lost it last week. And yeah. that surprised me.
Yeah.
Especially after like his conversation with the other guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like he's in between winning and like failing. Like, it seems like that's just very much at the forefront. It's all like, I should be at this place, but I'm not. And is yeah. that a failure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really want to be a father, he says earlier in the other episode.
Yeah.
It's like, no one's talking about being a father. Talking about if you love Jen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is like, the reason why, like, the vibe is so weird because it's like, it's always about him and his emotions, how he feels about life. He wants to be a father, but he's not connecting with her yet. He wants this life, and he feels like something's wrong with him. It's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's very little like the things we have together and what I like about you. It's all about like where I'm at in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even like when he told her that he doesn't love her yet, like when you look at Jonathan and he says, yeah. and he says, I'm not there yet. It's very natural. It's very like, hey, you know, we've had a really good, I'm not quite there yet, but you know, I feel like we're headed in a great direction. For him, it's like, and I know I'm a failure. And it's just like, Jesus, like, yeah. I don't know. The whole energy is just very weird. It's not me and you, it's me.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that's what makes me feel very unwell about just their interactions, is that she has this raw attraction to him. But outside of that, it's nothing but just therapy hour. And yeah. heaviness.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. But he says that he's, you know, he's unsure. She deserves someone who is sure about her. He might be putting pressure on himself because of the process, but it's hard for him to get to the point to comfortably say that he's in love. And she then is quiet for a very long time. And then she's like, I need to tell you that I'm in love with you. And I know we saw it in the preview, but it still like knocked my socks off. It was still, I don't know. I do not think we've ever had a lead
profess love
first.
Being told, I'm not in love with you.
Especially while being told, like just FYI.
Especially this late in the game.
This late in the game being told, I'm not there. And then have the lead be like, well, just so you know, I need to get this off my chest. I'm in love with you. And I mean, she's locked in. He starts crying right after. I mean, like full tear down the face. And he says, that, again, going back to the try, like what she said earlier, he's like, I'm going to try as hard as I can. I've been trying. I'm going to keep trying. And this is the moment where if I, you know, had an earpiece and I was Jen's friend, it's like, okay. We have to look at the data, too, of how long we've been together. I know that this is a wild, crazy ride where it's like we're talking about an engagement at the end. So, of course, it's the pressure cooker environment. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm spiraling. I'm spinning. I don't know if I could get engaged at the end. But the difference to me is the energy. And you brought up Jonathan before, but the energy of like someone who's like, I don't know if I can get engaged at the end and tell you that I'm in love with you. But I do really care about you and I want to stay here. If you're okay with me staying here, I want to stay here because I want to walk away with you at the end of this. Yeah. I don't think I can get engaged and I don't even know if I'll be able to tell you that I'm in love with you. But man, I'm falling in love with you and I want to try to make this work. But if you're not okay with leaving not engaged, then I might be the person you might need to send home. Like that to me is the way to communicate where you're like, hey, I'm over the moon. I feel like, hey, I really care about you. And I think we could have a future together versus if I had a friend who was like, the person keeps telling me they're trying. And I'm like, this early on in the game, if there's that much stress about trying to create feelings,
yes.
We have a problem.
Yeah, the difference is...
I totally get you not being ready to get married.
Yes, of course.
But like when you're communicating, hey, I wish I was there, but man, I'm crazy about you. And if you're okay with it, I want to keep pursuing this. But the trying conversation is where I'm like, oh, no, man.
Well, yeah, the difference is like with Jonathan and her is it's like he's kind of saying like we're headed towards a really good place.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between Marcus is like, I failed you.
Yeah.
By not loving you and then not following it up with, but I still want to be here and I still want to fight and I still want to da da da. I just am like, you know, I'm going through my own shit, so I'm going to figure that out, but I'm still.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, it's this weird, like, instead of him just saying, I'm still fighting for us, it's this, am I accepted even though I'm not the man I should be?
Yeah.
It's,
I think,
you know what I mean? It's almost like more about acceptance than it is about like, their relationship between two mature people that are like fighting for something.
It's the difference too of like when you have the conversations with Jonathan, there doesn't feel like pressure.
Yes.
There's the level of like, hey, I might not be quite ready to tell you that I'm in love with you yet. And I don't know if I'll be ready to get down on one knee, but I'm really enjoying our time. It feels loose. It feels fun. It's like we're getting to know each other and I'm comfortable with that. Versus the conversation with Marcus is it feels like it's a ticking clock to him where it's like, if I don't at like this, you know, exact hour feel this exact way, then it's a failure, versus like just kind of letting the process happen. And when you get to that final space, but also communicating, of course, communicating like, I'm not quite there yet, I think is totally fine.
Yeah.
Because then you're letting the lead know, like, just so you know, don't get your hopes up. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get to that space. But then the relaxed nature of, but I really care about you, right, and I'm falling in love with you. I mean,
so the ability to communicate.
Yeah. So let's enjoy this process while we're here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just a very different energy. That's for sure.
Big time.
But then the fantasy suite card, they get the invite and they go to the fantasy suite. And the next morning he said that he's feeling good after last night. And they were able to talk about like what was weighing on him. And she's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, I do feel like honesty is the best policy. So we did have these conversations. In my opinion, though, she was a mirror, or she was like a picture of what is really happening. Because after she did admit to him that I am in love with you, even though he's not in love with her, she, to me, started looking like very tired and defeated. And even the next morning when they got up, she didn't have, because she can be so sparkly. The sparkle was not there. It was like just this weight of, I put myself out there and I feel like I'm trying to convince somebody. And it's that really vulnerable state. And I'm sure as the lead, you never expected that you were going to be in the position where you were like, please love me.
Yes.
Because from however many seasons we've seen before, that's just not what we see. So in this situation, it just looked like she was wearing just like this backpack kind of this isn't easy. And I'll go back to it over and over again. This early, I know this is a pressure cooker situation, so it's different, but this early in a relationship, it shouldn't feel this hard.
Yes.
Anyone I know who's feeling this hard, even in the real world, this quickly on, I'm like, it shouldn't be this hard this quickly.
I agree. Yeah, their relationship seems it's a lot more about him wanting to convince her he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And her almost like feeling bad for him. And I want him to know he's a good guy. And he's going, I'm a good guy, I promise, even though I failed. Yeah. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, you guys have fun together. And like, is it a vibe? I don't know. Not seeing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that joy, this early on in a relationship, joy should be the go-to. And
excitement.
Of course, you feel
like, I want to see this person.
You feel other emotions aside from that. You feel nervousness, anxiety, because you're like, oh, is this the person? But like, I feel like the main go-to this early on should be joy.
Yeah.
So when the main go-to is sadness, confusion, stress right out the gate,
don't confuse that with depth. Don't confuse that with like, we're getting deep.
And I, honestly, I'd probably say the same to Devin.
Yeah.
If Devin was in the room, I'd be like, listen, I know she is a catch and a half and she's wonderful. But if you have, it seems like with Devin, it's like, oh, we were all good up until this point when I said I love you and then she didn't. But if he has been feeling, because it did almost seem like in his conversation with Jesse at the bar that he has been feeling this way for a while when he was like, I've been giving. So maybe he's felt this way for a little while. I'm like, if that is how you're feeling right at the top, maybe this isn't the one.
Yeah.
Because maybe joy should be the go-to. And obviously when you're on a reality TV show where you're competing, there's going to be a different level of like weirdness and stress that's involved in it and insecurity. But, you know, in the real world, when you're dating, you don't know if the other person is dating other people too. So that's an element as well.
Yeah.
But if you're not feeling like the first go-to is joy, but that's not like the primary feeling, maybe I'm wrong, but I go, I don't think so.
I agree.
You know, I think maybe why I feel so inclined towards her and Jonathan, that even though they're having these like conversations that could be painful and are very real, it seems like their first instinct together is joy.
Yeah. Agreed.
And they are enjoying getting to know each other and like making out and having fun with each other. That's like the first feeling with them.
Mm. Agreed.
I don't know. Those are my feelings.
Well, weirdo episode.
Big woof.
A lot of uncomfortable, a lot of like heavy, lot of like, oh, vibes.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't walk away feeling great, love y'all.
I was gonna say, I'm like, you know, with the fantasy suite episodes, normally, you know, it's jokey, jokey, fun, fun, crazy.
Yeah, usually it's just a lot of like sex jokes, but yeah, this said zero yeah, that.
No, it was not. It was very intense, and yeah. and it did get my mind grinding. Like yeah. I was kind of feeling a lot of like, how would I react in this situation, and what would I tell a friend, and how do I feel about this, 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 and that? Yeah. It was a lot of that.
I kind of got to take a bath.
I think we need a cold shower after that, but not a cold shower for that reason.
No.
A cold shower for other reasons. Well, like we said, the episode ended with Devin knock, knock, knocking at the door. And we'll see what happens in Men Tell All. And you can all join us on Friday for the Men Tell All episode. Very excited about that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we have some Devin moments.
Hopefully it's just fun chaos.
But we love you all.
We love ya.
Again, please stay tuned on Instagram stories for when things are going to get posted.
Yeah.
But Men Tell All will be out Friday. And yeah, we love you
love
all.
Ya.
We got to turn this AC on because
dying.
I am absolutely sweating. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.